Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I have here in front of me the Life Coalition International out of Melbourne, Florida, from a pro-life gal, Pat McEwen. And I'd like to read a couple quotes out of this newsletter and state right up front that Pat obviously is a Christian woman who loves God, cares about her neighbors' souls, and has a heart for the unborn. But in this article, she's from Florida, Melbourne, Florida, and in this article, she writes about the hurricanes and, of course, the devastation that came, the destruction, as though it was God's plan. And so I wanted to bring some of these quotes to you guys, and we'll think and talk through this. Okay, so let's see here. I've got it right here, Life Coalition International. From the desk of Pat McEwen. Okay, it starts out with a scripture quote, "Who has gathered the wind in his fists?" That's from Job, right? And Hurricane Frances hit dead on with widespread destruction here on the space coast of Florida. That's by Cape Canaveral. Hundreds of thousands were without electricity for a week or two. No air conditioning, and that's in Florida. With 90-degree heat in the 90s and high 90s humidity. Now, that's a recipe for misery. All right. Sweat and mold everywhere. Well, you don't think about those things, do you? Frances was erratic in her destruction. 10 townhomes in my little neighborhood had complete roof failure, yet my roof is intact. Well, praise the Lord for an intact roof. I have to agree with that. And that now that 10 homes lost their roofs, had complete roof failure. And that's really bad in a hurricane. It's really bad any time. And Pat McEwen's, which is great, and we praise the Lord for all good things, her roof stayed intact. Okay, during the day, let's see here. During the days without electricity, I cooked for my neighbors each night on a little grill. Beans and Franks tasted great. Hey, Pat McEwen, God bless you, and welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Hi, Bob. I hear we disagree on things.
Yeah, we do. We do a bit, but...
That's okay. Yeah. We agree on the important things.
That's right.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ is our Creator and our Savior. He rose from the dead to save those who will believe. And we also agree, apparently, that the killing of unborn children through abortion is the unjust shedding of innocent blood.
That's right.
All right. And thank you.
God judges nations.
Yeah, and Pat, thank you. Thank you for being in the fight to save these kids and their lives. I'd like to quote another part of your article here. Well, the good news is that the hurricane closed your local abortion clinic for almost 2 weeks. That is good. Praise the Lord. We suffered in the heat, but no babies died. And praise the Lord for that. Amen.
That's right.
Okay, and now, and I hope you don't mind me quoting from your article. We'll get a little further that way. Now let's look at, and you quote from Job again, "Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? The storm surge at the eye of Frances was 12 feet, and near you it was about 6 feet. That means that everything near the ocean, lower than 6 feet, becomes part of the ocean at high tide." And that is a scary way of looking at it. "I am almost 5 miles from the coast, and there is a barrier island and a lagoon between me and the sea. Regardless, the street outside my house looked like a river, and the high water mark was just short of my door." Wow. And then, Pat, you write, "Now that's power, not Mother Nature's power, Father God's. And I am really getting tired of hearing people talk about unpredictable Mother Nature when this was clearly Father God tapping us on the shoulder saying, turn from your wicked ways." Okay. And that's okay. Where we've clearly got to the point where we disagree. Would you like to elaborate on that? And then I'd like to ask you questions.
Well, for one thing, right now, if my voice sounds a little scratchy, I've been walking around with an adjuster into homes that are full of mold. Because after Frances hit, Jeannie came right along the same path.
That's right.
And she had 120-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah.
And she wiped out more than half of our community here.
Oh.
And it's real interesting.
It's tragic.
It's amazing.
It does provide an opportunity for human beings to turn to the Lord and,
right.
to look to him to sustain them.
That's right. When I was writing this, I was responding to a number of emails that were flying around the internet. You probably saw some of them,
yeah.
saying that it's not by accident that all the hurricanes are hitting Florida. Florida is third behind New York and California in abortions.
Hmm.
And I thought, well, that's interesting. Then why didn't it hit California?
And New York.
And also, my premise is if God is judging Florida, there would be no Florida.
Well, that's a pretty good point.
To comment on it.
Yeah, because God
this is God, yeah. the guy who thought the universe into existence.
Right. He judged
Egypt.
If he
wants to judge me, it's bye-bye.
Yeah, he judged Egypt, and it was left in ruin. He judged Nineveh, the great capital of the Assyrian Empire, and the entire Assyrian Empire was wiped out, and Nineveh was covered in 100 feet of dust,
right.
lost to history for a couple thousand years.
Yeah.
So God—
really think that God, sometimes, though, rather than not in a judgment type of thing, which to me is, judgment is no Florida. Judgment on the United States is, we're a third world country. You know?
Yeah, God can
judgment
do that.
Judgment is not 9/11. 9/11
right.
is kind of like when God sent prophets to warn that you're on the wrong path. It's a warning. It's God's mercy and God's love that warns you. And I think these things are warnings because I know there's a number of prophets running around like Rusty Thomas, Keith Tusey, that are all saying, you know, turn.
We're speaking with Pat McEwen and her newsletter, Life Coalition International, made its way to us here in Denver. And, Pat, the guys you just mentioned, Rusty Thomas, Keith Tusey, we had them out to speak at Denver Bible Church a couple
Great.
Months ago.
When they walked through with the Walk for America.
Yep,
with
the horse and the mule. And we joined them at the state capitol and all around Denver and at Columbine High School. And so anyway, yeah, now I find myself largely agreeing with what you're saying. You know, some Christians now, and Pat, I think you're getting more reasonable than you were in your newsletter.
Well, you can only put so much down in one page.
All right. Well then this is exciting because, you know, I wanted to remind the audience that God, he's not the only thing that exists. God made man, and he made the angels, and he made Lucifer, we call him the devil these days, who fell from heaven, and he made the whole natural world. And these things that God made, they're not impotent. God did not make an impotent creation. He didn't make men who could do nothing, nor angels, nor animals that couldn't move unless God used them like puppets on a string. He made a creation that was able to function, and then God rested on the seventh day.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Adam and Eve fell, then the perfection that was the ecosystem of the earth broke. And so weeds would grow, and the gardens would need to be worked hard to toil in the garden to provide men for their families. And so we now live in an earth that is broken. It's no longer the perfect paradise that God made. And so a broken earth produces challenges for human beings, but it doesn't mean that everything that happens happens as a part of God's plan. Wouldn't you agree that God made us, he made the earth, he made angels and animals, and that he's imparted to us authority to those sentient beings? He's made powers and principalities and authorities, and he's given us the ability to interact with one another. And so some things that happen because God has commanded them, and other things that happen happen directly in opposition to God's will.
Right.
You agree?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
I've got no problem on that.
All right.
I am just, I guess, Flip and I disagree every once in a while, and it's a semantic thing, and we laugh about it.
Yeah.
Because he's written a paper that says, you know, there's killing in our streets. Will this bring the judgment of God? No, it is the judgment of God, and he quotes the scripture. It's a wonderful piece. If you haven't read it, read it. He wrote it about the time when Clinton was president. You know, was Janet Reno the judgment of God? Will she bring on the judgment of God? No, she is the judgment of God.
Yeah.
And Flip and I go round and round, laughingly, jokingly, and I say, no, Janet Reno isn't the judgment of God. Janet Reno is the warning of God.
Okay.
that things are coming.
And Pat,
because God is immensely powerful.
Pat, I'll side with you. For example, when the Christians were being slaughtered, the persecution that broke out in the book of Acts, right, and Christians mm-hmm. were being killed, that wasn't the judgment of God.
No.
It was evil people disobeying God. When the Romans were killing the Christians in the Colosseum, that wasn't the judgment of God on the Christians. It was wicked people acting in rebellion against the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so through Stephen says in the book of Acts that the prophets, he says, which of the prophets were not persecuted? And the prophets of Israel, they were persecuted, arrested, and they were beaten, they were killed. And that wasn't the judgment of God. So I think that what we need to recognize is that God put us here on this earth, and this ain't no dress rehearsal. This isn't just a script that we're puppets on a string acting out some foregone conclusion. This is real, and the things that you and I do in this life, God has given us the ability to affect one another and to affect eternity.
Right.
Praise the
Lord.
And
also, you know, sometimes you have to recognize that God's intelligence, whatever you want to call it, is so much greater than ours, that our ability to even understand his plan when it's working sometimes just doesn't work. I have had incidents where I've thought, this and this and this and this is happening, this is persecution, and all of a sudden I see something comes up like an opportunity to witness to somebody, and it just changes their life, turns them right around. And I thought, wow, I thought this was persecution. It wasn't about me. It was about this other person. You know. And sometimes, you know, we're sitting here in Palm Bay, Florida. Gene's now gone through. You know, half of the houses here aren't. The streets are wet. There's no gas. my local bank is you drive up to a trailer, and an armed guard comes out, and a little teller comes out. And she takes your money, and she goes into the trailer. And the guard stands with you, and then she comes back with a handwritten receipt. And at night, a Brinks truck pulls up, takes all the money out of the little trailer, and then all the guards go away because the bank isn't. Mm. The bank is a parking lot now.
Mm.
And that's what it is. But you know what? You just don't know. Maybe it's not about us. I don't know what
maybe
this is about.
It's about a flood.
But I do know, Pat, it's not the judgment of God.
Pat, right. Maybe
judgment is much bigger.
Pat, I run across Christians who something happens, their car breaks down, and then they have a bit of inner turmoil because they're trying to figure out if it was God or the devil. It was God or the devil. And in fact, I've been a Christian for 30 years, and I've found Christians wrestling with this question 1,000 times in my experience. Christians are trying to figure out, was that God or the devil? And I think when we have a worldview that tries to attribute purpose to everything and meaning to everything, sort of like reading the tea leaves at the bottom of a cup or chicken entrails after a chicken is gutted, the chicken entrails fell at the bottom of the sink because it's the way you threw them in the sink.
Right.
Everything is not to be interpreted. In the Bible, we don't find the prophets and the apostles trying to interpret the wicked. They're at war against evil. They're not interpreting it. Why did this happen? Like Elijah, remember, he had the whirlwind and the fire. And then in 1 Kings 19, he found out that the Lord was not in the wind.
Right. He was in the still small voice.
Yeah, and the Lord was not in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus in Luke talked about a couple tragedies that happened in his day when a tower, the tower in Siloam, fell, and it killed a lot of people. And in fact, he also talked about Pilate slaughtering a number of Galileans who came down to Jerusalem to worship. and he killed them, and he mixed their blood with the blood of their sacrifices. This is in Luke 13. And Jesus, he was asked, they asked Jesus about the Galileans. Here I'm reading Luke 13, 1. Well, let me do a warning, Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, thanks, Pat. Okay, they told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answered and said to them, now they were wondering, were these the worst sinners? And this is why they were killed. And Jesus answered and said, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. And then, as you said, he went on to warn them that they should all repent. Mm-hmm. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. So that God created the world, he gave it to us, and if we honored God, there'd be no sin, pain, or suffering, or death. But we dishonored him, and everything has fallen apart.
Yeah, we got thrown out for bad behavior.
That's great, Pat. All right. Hey, Pat, I'm
thrilled. People tell me about the Garden of Eden and this and this and this and the Garden of Eden. I said, yeah, we got thrown out. Bad behavior.
Exactly. Hey, Pat, so what's your prognosis now for a normal life down there?
Actually, things are looking better. The troops are off our streets. Hmm. They're here, but they're not really visible. Hmm. We've got an adjuster coming around trying to help people. Those of us that have houses, people are living. It's kind of like a nice big dorm with one bathroom. You know, a lot of females living with me, males living with males. Mm. You know, it's going to be all right. One thing I have learned is to thank God, no matter what.
Yeah, you know, just amen.
Thank him because there's a lot of people worse off than we are, and you know what? If my house was gone, I would have my life. You know, there's always something to thank God about.
Yeah, and if your life is gone, you're in with the Lord.
Right, and I've got a phone back, as you notice.
Oh, no, that's right.
And we didn't get bumped off once, and it didn't go crackle, which it does sometimes.
All right, we're speaking
so,
with
things are coming. There's a world out there.
All right, we're speaking with Pat McEwen with Life Coalition International out of Melbourne, Florida. Pat, last question.
Okay.
What if you think you quoted in your newsletter from, I think this is from 1 Chronicles 7:14. Yeah, here it is. That God said, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. Do you think if all true Christians repented in any nation, that nation would then prosper and be a righteous nation?
Yes.
You do.
I think now we're talking true Christians.
Yeah, true.
There's a lot of people that say they're Christian because their mother went to the Baptist church and they're not Buddhist.
That's
about what it means.
If true
Christians.
But
I'm talking about if the Church of Jesus Christ woke up, what a change. We could be a righteous nation again.
Okay.
We were once.
All right. Let me tell you.
Again.
Okay. Now
you
I'm
have to
all.
Wake up.
Now I'm all for. Amen to that. And I'm all for Christians repenting. And I'm glad you and Keith are telling people we got to turn to the Lord and get serious about God.
Right.
But let me suggest to you that throughout the history of the world, when all those who believed in God, truly believed in God in any given country, when they repented, for the most part, they just got killed and the country stayed as wicked as it ever was or got worse. For example, I mentioned Elijah and the 7,000 strong. Remember, Elijah said, woe is me, Lord, it's only me. And God said, no, there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal.
Right.
So God
hidden in the caves.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good testimony. God is saying there are 7,000 who have not bowed to another God. They've remained faithful to me, and yet the whole nation of Israel was falling apart. So even though the righteous were honoring God and faithful to him, the nation was evil. And think about when the Christians in Rome were being slaughtered. Is it because they were evil that they were slaughtered? Are the apostles killed because the apostles were evil? What I think is that we Christians, we quote that verse, from Chronicles, and we miss the whole point. Because let's say in Eastern Europe, countries that only had 300 Christians, and all 300 were hunted down and killed sometime in history. And does that mean if they were true, according to that verse, those countries should have repented? But here's what I think's going on.
I think there's a lot more. Well, I've heard a joke sometimes that maybe the 144,000 is a true number.
Yeah.
I've heard that joke.
Right.
I think there are a lot more Christians out there. I think there are a lot of people that I consider pew Christians. They're still Christians, but they're sitting in pews. And they just don't understand what it means. They are they are saved, but they're not discipled. And unfortunately,
there are
too many people that are not discipling. We're running around saving people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're praying the sinner's prayer, and then we don't talk to them again.
Right.
You know, I mean,
that's true.
I think there's a lot more Christians there, and I think we really could affect a country.
Oh, I think we could, certainly. But what I like to do is let's not overpromise or misrepresent why things are so bad. For example, when God said that, his people was Israel. The whole nation, they were his people, the whole nation. He had a covenant with every man, woman, and child in Israel. And so when he said, if my people will repent, I will heal their land, meaning if the nation repents, not if some subset of the civilians or the citizens, if 3,000 people are Christian in the Sudan, really, and they love God, that doesn't mean they won't be killed and the Sudan be evil.
In our country, though, we have a lot more.
Well, we do.
You know, we are not.
We have millions.
We have a lot of Christians here. We have probably 144, not 1,000, but 144 active ones.
Ah, no.
You know, unfortunately. Yeah. But I think, I don't believe that it is impossible to awake them. I think we can awake the church.
I agree.
I really think we can. The church in the United States is pretty big and pretty strong. If she just knew her power,
all right,
you know, and she's sitting and she's afraid of her 501c3.
Amen.
You know? I mean, she's a giant, a giant lion afraid of a little gnat.
All right,
you know, and that's I think it could happen. But first, that lion has got to look in the mirror and decide who she is.
Amen, Pat McEwen. Thank you. I'm so thrilled we're on the same side of the battle.
Okay.
God bless you. Hope to talk
to you
again.
All right. God bless you, Bob.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Melbourne, Florida. The pro-lifers are trying to stop the child killers there, and we got the report right here on Bob and Yurt Live out of Denver. Hey, a couple Bible verses real quick. I have a few minutes. You know, some people believe that God is the author of everything. Everything that happens comes from God. But yet the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Now, if confusion doesn't exist, why would Paul have even written that? But you know confusion exists. Look at part of your own life, right? And God is not the author of that. How about disunity among Christians? It's God's will that brothers dwell together in unity, yet disunity abounds, right? God wants there to be no divisions among us, yet Christians break fellowship so often. Is it God's will that a husband would be unfaithful or faithful? Is it God's will that a man would cheat on his wife? Of course not, yet countless marriages fail. And God hates divorce, no less. So Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God that you should abstain from sexual immorality. But to hear some Christians tell it, every perversion is a part of God's plan. It's not. Luke 7, verse 30, the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by John the Baptist. And the word for will there in the Greek, boulomai, boulain there from boulomai, that's the strong, committed will of God. The lawyers rejected that. God's will was that they be baptized by John, and they were not. Right? So the phrase, the will of God, doesn't mean what Christians often imply by the term, certainly not always. For example, the will of God often means something done righteously, Like in Romans 1:10, Paul wrote, if by some means I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. He wanted to go to Rome. And he said, if there's some way in the will of God to come, I'll be there. Now, he didn't mean it's either God's will that I'm there or not. Because if so, what is he talking about? He should have just said, if it's the will of God, I'll be there. But he said, if by some means I find a way in the will of God to come to you. In other words, I'm not going to rob a merchant and use the money to pay for a ticket to come to Rome. That would not be in the will of God. Right? 2 Peter 3:9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that the Greek there is that all should have room for repentance. Kureu. All right, let's see. True or false? Everything that is done flows from the mind of God, with God having commanded it. True or false? Well, think about the killing of children. In Jeremiah chapter 32, it speaks of when the Jews were killing their babies, offering them as a sacrifice on the altar of Molech. They'd burn a fire on the altar and burn their children alive to offer to this false god. And God said they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. That's Jeremiah 32:35. And God said the same thing in Jeremiah 19:5. He said, they burned their sons with fire for burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. God is not some metaphysical equation. He's not some freak of nature. God is real. Jesus was talking about the man on the road to Jericho being beat by thieves and left for dead. And he said in Luke 10:31, now by chance a certain priest came down that road. And that's how it's translated, by chance. It's so interesting. So we're about out of time, but hey, we have all this on a seminar, audio tapes, and within a week or so, we'll have it on MP3 CDs, Predestination and Free Will. So if you're interested in that, give us a call at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And say, hey, I'd like to listen to that Predestination and Free Will seminar. It's a teaching. How long is it? 5-6 hours? Bible study. It's really fun. It is hot stuff. I think you'll love it. Predestination and Free Will. And then if you watch that, that's the prerequisite. Then we have a video, a 2-hour moderated debate by a TV talk show host in Lansing, Michigan. He was the moderator, John Mangopoulos, where I debated the subject of predestination and free will with a pastor, Schwartley. And what a debate that is. But you cannot watch that until you first listen to the predestination and free will seminar. Prerequisite. It's one of our rules. Because you'll appreciate it more. Hey, I'm out of time. I got to tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, 20 acres, beautiful campus. You should hear about just the science, the guys who teach science at Maranatha. It would blow your mind. Check it out, the school, 303-431-5653. That's 431-5653.